Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 434's After Show.
I got RSV.
No, I don't.
All right. Welcome in, everyone. This is the Smashbox TV After Show. All bets are off. We may or may not speak of disc golf related topics.
Oh, we're going to talk some disc golf topics.
Maybe we have a few of them. And we love to especially hear from you in the YouTube chat, as that sometimes helps drive this bus during the after show. However, not required. If you don't give us good stuff in there, we'll make up other dumb stuff to talk about.
I was sent some information, or actually not information. I was sent maybe some questions about the upcoming Ulta World article regarding fandom. Now, we saw one come out just recently that kind of had a general listing of the players, where they rate as far as fandom, who's people's favorite player, general rank. But I think they're getting more detailed in this next thing, because I believe there were a lot of questions that were asked. Did we talk about the fandom survey last
week? I don't think we did, because I feel like it came out...
Maybe right after. Maybe it came out Wednesday?
Possibly.
Nah,
we'll go with that.
Was there anything that surprised you in there?
Not like really
crazy out of the ordinary.
I don't think so.
I think this part of the survey that they're going to release is a little bit, I don't want to say more media centric, but I think it does have some media questions in it. For instance, you know, how do you primarily watch disc golf? Is it mostly live and some post, mostly post and some live, only one or the other? And there's a few other questions in here that Jesse Wise, I think I'm pronouncing your name right, could be Weiss, who I believe is one of the authors, or the author, maybe he's a solo author, sent us just asking maybe, you know, if we have thoughts. We have thoughts, Terry?
Is this on record?
This is going to be on record. It's on the podcast. One of the questions that was asked of the general public, and now this went out a few months ago. I believe 2 months ago or so is when the survey was released. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think of the Disc Golf Pro Tour? Where do you think that number will fall-ish?
That's so tough.
That's the point, Terry.
No, but like...
No, that's the point, Terry.
There's a million ways
that's
to interpret
that. That's the point,
that,
Terry.
That question.
That's the point, Terry. In general, though, if you have
widely gaping, complete, yes, like overall arching perspective,
how do you
that
feel
I
about
can interpret
the Pro Tour
100 different ways.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Like, I'm going to assume it's going to come back.
Do you feel people have a general feeling of positivity or negativity to the Pro Tour?
Again, without anything specific in question, I would assume it's going to be largely positive.
So what's that number? 6? 7? 8? Because I think the follow-up question is, how do you feel about the PDGA? And again, there's 1,000 things to feel about the PDGA, but this is a general stick your toe in the water. And this isn't representative of my personal thoughts, but looking out at the temperature of the people, I kind of feel like, well, I'll ask you this first. Who's higher, DGPT or PDGA?
I think... given recency, which is what people will go off of.
Remember, we're talking 2 months ago is when the survey came out.
I feel like the DGPT in that case will get, will have a higher overall score.
Agreed. I'm with you. I had said that. I think the DGPT will probably score around 7.5 to 8. And that the PDGA will probably be closer to 6.5. That's my general. You think I'm close? Do you?
I have no idea because I don't know who's reading Altaworld, like as in who their fan base is.
Well,
if
I mean,
they
I
are
think this is,
PDGA members, are
well,
they not PDGA members?
I think
how
this is
serious
a pretty
of a disc golfer are they?
Environment.
How do you finding Altaworld?
I think
Altaworld's survey in the first place.
It's going
like
out
that's
to
that
disc,
that's only found by certain people.
True.
I mean, that's like saying, you know, who's watching the first round next year of a new silver event on the tour, like Joe Schmo, fresh into disc golf, barely even knows what disc golf is, isn't finding round one FPO coverage of the silver such and such first time event on a Thursday. They're not finding it. I understand that and I agree with that. It's just a very different viewer base than final round on Sunday at the USDGC. Like,
well, here's my assumption: the Altaworld survey is going out to people who are truly plugged into disc golf.
Okay, yep.
Because if you're following, the only way you're probably finding out about the survey in general is if you're either an Altaworld subscriber or if you follow them on the socials, and I think that is probably your more plugged in person for. Whichever way you want to look at it, just mm-hmm. someone who is involved in the sport. With those criteria, does that change your idea at all? Does it change how people are? Do you think feel about the PDG? Do you think people who are more plugged in?
Yeah, it does. I feel like the base of responses is largely differing depending on. Obviously, their familiarity with the sport, their mm-hmm. longevity, their commitment to it, those are all very different things. And I, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think I need to put it on my headstone that so many things that go on in disc golf are largely, misunderstood sounds a little generic, but kind of like are largely unknown or misunderstood. And I know that could be said of a lot of things, but. Just so many people have no clue, what's really going on. And then that's what drives the narrative.
It
and
does.
Drives their fury and frustration or likeliness or otherwise.
On both sides, because I made my feelings clear last week about my stance on the recent PDGA announcements. But I've been having discussions with people who do agree with me on my stance, but don't necessarily agree with the PDGA and how they got there. Me personally, I tend to go into things with a slightly more, positive or optimistic outlook. I give more people the benefit of the doubt.
Sheesh, I don't.
I'll say this. I give our PDGA board and the medical committee and the sub-medical committee and subcommittee and sub-sub-subcommittee, whatever. I give them all more benefit of the doubt that they went in with an open mind. I don't necessarily think I don't necessarily think all people do. And I don't know the answer, clearly, and this is just my perspective, but I don't necessarily think that the survey, even if you're plugged into the sport, that you necessarily agree. And here's my question. Do you think, and we don't know this and we won't have the answer to this, do you think that those numbers are any different today versus they were 2 months ago?
I do.
Really? So if in 2 months ago, I'm going to throw some generics out there because I'm plugged into a few different groups. 2 months ago, I feel like we had a lot of people who were, we'll say, anti-trans athletes, very upset at the PDGA for continuing to allow trans athletes to play. Obviously, with last week's announcement, that has flipped. So do you think the PDGA gets a higher score now than they would have 2 months ago or a lower score now than 2 months ago? Because we've seen the statistics. I 100% buy the statistics that, you know, there are people who are out there who are complaining like, oh, the survey and this and that. I think the numbers are the numbers. I don't disagree with what the numbers say. I don't think that, you know, we had 30,000 people answer this survey. I 100% think that the numbers are accurate. That's kind of the general feeling of how our general community feels that, you know, there was a 70% whatever that fell on the side of not including trans athletes. I don't think the numbers are wrong. So knowing that that number, do you think the PDGA would get a higher score today than they would two months ago?
Yeah, I think you're kind of answering your own question in that sense.
Well, that's my question. Or do you think, you know?
Yeah, I think if you're just following a reasonable relationship of if the PDGA, and I'm just speaking, I don't want to say generically, but if the PDGA had, for lack of a better term, an approval rating of X two months ago,
yep.
And then they release and implement a policy change that aligns with 70-80% of what the people responded with, I think the numbers would then shift to their approval rating then increasing.
Okay.
Because I think there's a direct correlation there. You can make your own judgments whether you agree or not, whether that should or shouldn't happen, whatever. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
if you're looking at, exactly as I said. Or my other thought was, do you feel that maybe people who are unhappy with the PDGA 2 months ago, maybe for this subject, are still not going to be happy with the PDGA for something else? Like, do you think there are some people who are just, I mean, there clearly are, but do you think a majority of the people who are unhappy with the PDGA will just find a different reason to be unhappy with the PDGA?
I mean, that's always possible. Or is that your biggest thing right now? I think it was the biggest thing. I think it was the biggest thing, which is funny because it didn't feel like it was. It didn't seem that way when it came to specifically the voting for the board members. But when put out, maybe rephrased and regurgitated in a different way with the survey, the survey seemed to speak loud and clear, at least of the people that replied.
Ooh, I'm going to put you on the spot.
I defer.
You may. Were you surprised at... Because after our show, they released the information about the board. Who voted which way?
Oh, which I honestly didn't even look at.
Yeah, it was a 4-3 vote.
Okay.
I believe it was Leah, Laura, and Conrad Damon all voting for, we'll say, inclusion, not restricting the trans athletes. Mm-hmm. The other four board members, and I can't remember who they all are right now, so I don't want to say, but okay. I do know the other four voted against the inclusion. Are you surprised by any of that? Does it, or better not surprised. That maybe that's not the right word. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean,
because that's one of your interview staples.
Yeah. I'd like to. Oh, I was just gonna say. I wonder if I can, because I want to know.
Because it was Jeff Hungerford. Obviously Nate Heinold. I forget who the other two people on the board of directors are. You could look up board of directors and it would tell you exactly who's on the board of directors, but it was the other two. It was the other four that clearly voted against it. And I'll say, it doesn't shock me because I look at it in different ways as I try to do. I try to look at it from a bunch of different perspectives. That the PDGA board was handed something from the subcommittee that gave their opinion, and the opinion was 7-0 on the subcommittee, and the board then takes that and takes the survey and puts it all together. And there, on one hand, you can look at it and say, well, if the subcommittee and the survey went one way, how does someone like, we'll say, a Laura or a Conrad Damon or a Leah, how do they vote against that? Like because if you didn't do the research and someone hands you a paper and says, here are the what we consider the facts. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I'm not going to get into the subcommittee stuff. There's a whole nother subject. How do you vote against that? Now, me personally, I look at it and say, well, Leah and Laura were some of our newest board members that were elected.
And Conrad,
they ran on a specific
platform
which was inclusion. Like, that was what some of this was. I don't know necessarily if Conrad did, but I know Laura and Leah were very much about the inclusion. So they, to me, they did what they were, quote unquote, elected to do. They came in with that perspective and they stuck with it. So when you get elected for saying something, I give them much respect for following with that. The other members of the board didn't necessarily run on that platform and maybe looked at something a little differently. So I know there are a lot of ways to look at this. Do you have the other names? It was Wilbur Wallace.
Yeah. David Schraff.
David Schraff. Thank you. Those are the other names of the people of particular.
David Schraff, who does not specifically, and that was, I know, one conversation piece, was does not have a disc golf background. In fact, is, you know, from media and advertising and from some of those particular. He was vice president at Walt Disney Television at one point, president of global marketing and media for the NBA. President and COO and board director at Marvel Entertainment, so on and so forth. I mean,
the guy's got some quality.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around, you know, a lot of those things for quite some time. Obviously, he was elected, you know, based on all these qualifications. So, and his experience. So, yeah, you've got Heinold, Wallace, Schraff, Hungerford, Nottingale. I don't know how to pronounce Laura's last name very well. Synogeny, which is surprisingly easier for me to say.
That's why I kept calling her Laura. Yeah, and not trying to pronounce her last name.
And Conrad Damon. So anyway, I...
Yeah. So, yes, it was announced on who voted which direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you just said, when you look at whether it was their platform or one of the main reasons or one of the main, I hate to call it agenda, but one of their main themes in what they're running on.
It is a platform.
Yeah, they all fall within, well, at least specifically Leah and Laura, not so much from Conrad's, from what I could see from at least his description here.
Yeah.
It certainly, you know, like you said, it falls within kind of what they ran on and what they were all about. So can you say I'm surprised by that? Not really.
It's funny because we are, we are a representative sport. You know, we elect these people in order to do what we feel is best. And if I mean, and again, the reason why, not, I don't say the reason, but one of the reasons why they were elected recently, Laura and Leah, was because of this particular subject. You know, we saw people run on the opposite side of that did not make it. So when, again, when you have a huge portion of the survey results and the medical committee, I understand why the other, you trust what your subcommittee is going to give you. It is thoroughly investigated. It took them 12 months and whatnot. You know, I there's a lot of talk. I've been back and forth with a few people online that don't like the I don't say don't like the results of the subcommittee, but don't necessarily think it was the best.
The summation
that it wasn't top notch. And I can understand that perspective, and I don't disagree with them per se, but the board trusted the subcommittee to hand them something, and they did. They gave them something, and that's.
What? Yeah, and I'm beyond because I am. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm not an expert.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
there's a lot of experts
out there.
These days,
yeah, there too. Are, but I am not one. And so I call it ignorance. But when I see a report and I see these things that come in, I am in no way a qualified, in my opinion, to then further analyze and break down what these committees and subcommittees have arrived at, because they all did 100 times more research than me. And that's why even when I do have any of these conversations, I often say, in my non-expert opinion, I can just go by what I presently feel. I have not done the research. And quite honestly, I'm not going to. This is way outside of my purview of being an expert in these conversations and these topics. I'd like to know what I'm talking about to have the conversation, but I'm not going to be breaking down the differences between the two nanomoles and the 2.6 nanomoles and the 3.0 nanomoles in terms of the testosterone levels and what they mean at various, like, all of that is just, that's way outside of my purview. And that's not to say I don't care. It's just to say, I don't want to get caught up. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to get caught up in those conversations that I'm not an expert in. So no matter what my personal opinions are, they're always qualified with just that, as being my personal opinion and my non-expert personal opinion. A lot of people think their opinions are in fact facts, but that's not necessarily the case. I know enough of what I don't know to say this is just my personal opinion as a non-expert. And that's how I usually move forward with this entire conversation when talking about somebody. I get asked all the time, obviously, what my opinions or my perspective it is. And I always start with my non-expert opinion says this.
Yeah.
And so, you could take that and throw that out the window, and I'm good with that.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not an expert, and I don't claim to be. Like,
there's a lot of things I would consider. There's not a lot. There's a few things I would consider myself an expert on. This is not nearly one of them. But I do trust the PDGA. I trust the medical committee. I trust the secret sub medical committee. Whatever it is. And again, our board of directors was not tasked with doing the research. They were tasked with looking at the results. And so I think that is a clean distinction, so I can understand why the votes came in the way they did. So,
okay. So that, and I think one thing we are seeing just on a little higher level of all this is, I can see right now as I'm looking at PDGA.com, you can go out and you can see the minutes from the fall summit in 2022. There's a PDF document that's right there. They, you can actually see the last, all of the last, previous meetings when you're looking at the 2022 September teleconference, the August teleconference, July, so on and so forth. Those are all posted, and then they have approved minutes from all of 2021's board meetings, all listed right there on the website. I know a lot of people, and I'm going to say this in a very generic sense, a lot of people say that, you know, things are behind closed doors and or there's no transparency.
I disagree.
I'm saying stuff is out there. You have to just sometimes take 2 seconds to look for it. Well, where is it? I can't find it. Like, 2 seconds of clicking around and you can find most of what you're looking for. You just have to put in like 2 seconds
budget
worth of
and
effort.
Board meetings. Those are the two things.
That's that, the that two things everybody looks for. And 99 out of 100 times they're out there and they're available. A couple of clicks will get you there. It's not, they're not trying to hide it, and it's not hidden or privileged information. It's available. And that is, whether you're for or against any conversation piece within the PDGA, I will tell you that stuff is almost always out there, and it's just a couple clicks away. You don't think there's some big conspiracy theory about them trying to hide something from you. You just have to be able to click like once or twice without a board member like leaning over your shoulder and holding your hand and holding the mouse.
So going back to the initial,
that's a side note.
The whole thing was a side note compared to what we were talking about. So you think that the PDGA will be viewed better now than they were 2 months ago. How about the DGPT? Because the DGPT technically did not have, they went along with the PDGA, so they were never, I feel, held to the same, I don't want to say same standard, but same ire that the PDGA was. So do you think that this decision helped or hurt the DGPT?
I would say it either is held the same or it is slightly increased.
You think?
Would be my guess. Again,
okay.
Yeah, I'm just going off I don't know if that's cause-effect, correlation, whatever that is, to say that if more people seem to have this opinion and then we're implementing policy that fits with, that aligns with more, the majority of people's opinions, I'm going to assume with that, you're going to find a slight increase in the favorability of them, that the people that are implementing said policy.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's just obvious, but I could be dead wrong. In my non-expert opinion, I mean,
we should just put that as a tag at the beginning of our podcast.
Every show.
Just have that as, you know, welcome to Smashbox. Our non-expert
opinion
is ... and then just open up the show.
All right. I mean, do you feel there's going to be an inverse?
I think there would be a slight inverse for the DGPT. And it's hard for me to step outside my own bias, but because I don't feel that the DGPT was ever held to the same standard, I don't want to say standard, as a PDGA, because this is a PDGA decision, that the DGPT, you know, again, like I said, no one was holding this against the DGPT because this is a PDGA rule. But now that the PDGA laid down a rule and the PDGA, or now that the PDGA laid down a rule and the DGPT followed it, I feel that this only, this I don't think this could help the DGPT much. I think it could only hurt the DGPT. And I don't think it's much, to be fair. I think it's very slight, if anything. And that's based purely on public perception. The only other thing I wanted to ask about this survey was, in general, live versus post. If you're talking about a plugged in, I don't want to get into the pros and cons by any means. Please don't fucking start with me there. If you're talking about a plugged in segment, like who took the survey, how many in general do you think more people watch live, or do you think still more people are watching post with live?
I think the largest majority of viewers are now watching post and some live.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I think that in general is correct. I don't know if that's necessarily
who took the survey.
Yeah. I don't know if that's who took the survey. Cause again, I think the survey is for people who are relatively plugged into the thing. Cause I don't remember how many people took the survey. It was like 1200 or something like that.
Maybe. This Ultra World survey.
Yeah. Cause I think it was all tied into the last survey as well. So I don't know. Yeah. It's I do love this type of survey, and I hope they continue to do it year after year. Cause just as a fan of stats and nerdism, I would love to see the changes in our fandom, how they tend to trend. You know, not even just the post versus live stuff, because we all know live is kind of trending up. Post, I don't know what post is doing because I'm not involved. I don't know if it's trending up, trending flat, trending down. I don't know. I know live is trending up. But I also really want to see how the survey responded to players. Like, can you watch who is on the upswing? Like, taking a look at, let's say, like Gannon Burr, can you look at his favorability rating and say, oh wow, look at in 2022 he had a 6.8 or whatever the number was, and it moves, you know, 2023, 2024, 2025, and it just keeps moving up until it drops down. So I'm excited to kind of look at the survey for the pros and watch that progress. So I hope it's something that they can continue to move with. So just for, it gives us crap to talk about in the off season too.
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting when you, I'm just now clicking on it, but it's really interesting to see, as you're saying, some of the demographics of the survey. One thing it showed it was that 94.9% of the respondents were male to 4.2. So that is almost, I'll say, even double what our typical PDGA participation is when it comes to overall membership. I think we hover in the 8, 7, 8, 10-ish percent of PDGA members
FPO
are
women. Half of what normally our
So the respondents here were half of even half of that already seemingly low 10%. So I guess that kind of ultimately fits in line with what we're seeing. So yeah, good stuff. Thank you, Ultra World.
I like that we have someone out there doing stuff like this.
Yeah. It's it's good stuff.
All right, Terry. My next question. Do you have HBO Max?
I don't. This is why I don't watch anything that's essentially, I don't watch anything that's not Netflix.
White
for
Lotus,
this exact reason.
White Lotus is so good. You like it.
I have never, I've never looked into acquiring any other way or doing anything. We've kind of sort of had talks about various logins.
I can never remember.
I have essentially, I think I have Amazon Prime Video because I have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but there's nothing on
that. Is there anything on that? No, exactly. And I don't know if that's easy. Yeah, it's probably easy to download and take with you.
No.
But no, if it's not Netflix, I don't have it. And the only time I watch Netflix stuff is when I'm on a plane.
Fine. Never mind then, Terry.
White Lotus, I'm not on board with.
I think you would like it. That's the only reason why I mentioned it. My wife and I are through now season two. There's only two seasons. It's really good. And I think you would like it, which is why I suggested it.
Yeah. One of these days, probably, maybe, sort of, I'll get around to it. And yes, some people absolutely missed the joke, as I see you guys referencing in the chat. Missed the joke I made this weekend talking about I didn't want to watch the World Cup live, so don't spoil it. I want to watch it in post-production. Someone, I think Disc Golf Fanatic or somebody, of course, then took that post, brought it to Reddit. Then part of Reddit lit me up. Seemingly, I quit reading about halfway through because I was just like, this is pointless. But Reddit then lit me up, you know, calling me all sorts of names and blah, 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 and what everyone always does.
Nothing I haven't called you probably.
Exactly. And then some people got it. They're like, no, Terry was joking. And I'm like, yes, I was joking. My next post said I was joking. My next post 3 minutes later said it was all a joke. And if you couldn't read through the dripping sarcasm. Yeah.
So you did not watch any World Cup?
I literally, and I'm not saying this to brag, but I literally watched 0 minutes and 0 seconds of the entire World Cup. I hear the final event game match was amazing, the greatest ever. Messier. I'm going to call Mark Messier. Messier now has the most liked post ever on Instagram, and I think that's all awesome. I truly am happy for the people that give a shit. I'm just not one of them. And I'm not ripping on anyone that cares at all. I'm just saying I don't care.
I don't know if this is a hot take or not. Penalty kicks are stupid. Dumb. Deciding your
PKs? Yeah. I saw a lot of talk about PKs.
Deciding your champion, your biggest event on kicks that are, it feel like 80% go in. I don't know. I hate it in general. So my experience with the final World Cup match was I turned it on a couple minutes in. And it was like 1-0 Argentina. Suddenly, I walk away, do a couple things, come back, 2-0 Argentina. I was like, all right, cool. Well, Argentina's probably got this one. Go and do a bunch of stuff around the house, come back. And I don't know if I'm just dumb luck. Turn it on. Within moments, suddenly it was like, oh, France scored. It's 1-2. Like, cool. Walk away, come back. Literally, it was a minute and 33 seconds between the two goals, and I watched the first one. When I walked away and came back, it was two. I literally walked into the other room.
How many times I got to tell you, with soccer, man, you can't walk away. All that action, all that scoring.
It was 2-2.
It's nonstop. And it's so then, nonstop.
At that point, I was like, oh, this is interesting now. 2-2, I'll sit down and watch. Ah. I think I watched the last 6 or 7 minutes, and it was tied. And then they're like, cool. We're going to like a 15 or 30 minute playoff. And I went, fuck that. And I turned it off. And apparently it went to a playoff. They each scored. And then it went to penalty kicks. And all I keep thinking is like, you're going to decide.
Are they true penalty kicks or are they like sudden death kicks? Like, I mean, excuse my ignorance.
I don't know the difference.
Is it truly a, like.
It's sudden death kicks, basically. Okay. Whatever. And I think they're just the same as penalty kicks.
I only ask that because calling it a penalty kick, implies, if it's like a sudden death kick, feels stupid. But maybe they're called penalty kicks. I don't know.
I don't know either.
The board can tell me.
The board will light us up. And so I turned it off, and then I turned it on as Argentina was like celebrating. They were all hugging each other. It was after the goal. The match was over. And I see people crying and hugging, and I was like, oh, all right, cool, Argentina won. And I'm not a soccer person, but I just think, like, I don't like deciding, and I understand soccer's tough, you don't score very often, like that could go a long time, but I feel like at some point someone's gonna get tired, someone's gonna make that kick.
Is that any different than a field goal? And
yeah, does the NFL just after overtime line you up and say, all right, we're going to kick 40 yard field goals till someone wins? No, yeah, they don't.
That'd be fun.
It would be kind of different, but no, like that's how I feel soccer is. And it's like, no, you keep, get your ass on the pitch. You keep playing until someone kicks the ball into that thing when there's a defender in place. Cause when you just have a bunch of dudes lined up and there it's one against the goalie. I don't like that. I want to see someone actually score. And by see, I mean, I won't see it because I'm not watching.
Is this not the same? Again, excuse my ignorance.
And hockey kind of does this, too.
I was just going to say, is this not the same as a shoot-off?
It is.
In that ice hockey thing?
I think it's pretty much the same thing.
It seems like a similar concept.
It feels that way. But I just feel like You should be playing. You should be playing the game until someone kicks it in fair and square, not just start lining people up.
So these guys are not loving our ignorance.
And I'll fully
this would
admit,
be like explaining baseball to someone completely ignorant to it.
100%. You're right.
How difficult is it? There's one ball and
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, again, I just don't
like their tiebreaker method.
I have lessened my overall takes on sports that I don't know or understand to, like, I'm happy that they're great and they're world unifying or diversifying, either way, however you look at it. Yeah. Like, that's all great. I literally had in the back of my head last week during our after show, I was thinking to myself, I'm just going to ask, is the World Cup still going on? I genuinely didn't know. That sure. answer was that was clearly answered shortly thereafter, because that's just where I'm at with it. And it clearly was amazing for so many people that enjoyed it. Like, there was so much excitement by so many people on Facebook, and I've learned to embrace that and think that's awesome. It's just, it's not my excitement. And that's
like, if I were to write the rules of soccer, the overtime rules?
Yes.
It would go, you do like a whatever.
You've never played soccer, right?
Not outside of gym class.
Okay,
like,
go
just
on.
Like casually with my kid, whatever. But,
okay. But like, never outside of gym class. And you didn't play soccer
never,
at,
no.
at like the no. middle school or no, grade school?
Never,
okay.
No,
I did.
No,
go on.
No, never. After regulation, and by the way, again, still hate that they count the clock up. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Whatever. But aside from that, you go into overtime. And you do a full, whatever, 15 or 30 minutes. All right, cool. Whoever scores, scores. At that point, then, if both teams score, then it's sudden death. Not penalty kicks, but sudden death. First person to score wins. And at that point, then you move on. None of this penalty kick crap. Mm. None of the penalty kick crap. Yeah. Yeah, there was a local sports anchor here in town who was... Basically, I think it was many years ago, we kicked goals against our, I call it our minor league soccer team, the Wave,
yeah.
which is indoor soccer. And he had said, he's like, I think I can get, you know, 6 to 8 goals against you. And he was out of shape radio dude. And I think he got like 4 goals on him for a penalty kicks. Like, to me, that's impressive. If you get 4 on a professional goalie.
Yeah. Like, that's like getting a hit off of a MLB pitcher, right?
I think the soccer thing is way easier. But because it feels to me like when I watch a goalie try to block a penalty kick style thing, it's random. Like, the dude's just guessing.
Yeah, they're
like,
they're going right or left. You can, committing.
To me, that's, you flip a coin on winning your match then. Like, you're leaving the entire thing up to a goalie who's guessing.
Was like, there 5 of these kicks?
I don't know.
Kicks?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I don't know. For all I know, the World Cup could have 20 of them. I don't know. I turned it on afterwards because I was busy doing other things. That's how much I got invested into the World Cup. It was cool when it was tied. When they told me there was going to be like 30 more minutes, I tapped out. I was like, yeah, no thanks. And I'm glad, like you said, I'm glad everyone thought it was cool.
Well,
super
good
cool
thing inside. Our podcast is international because we've just gained that many more haters for thinking we're dumb idiots because we don't love and embrace and understand.
Imagine Paul McBeth and Aaron Gossage going through, like, getting to extra holes, going to a playoff, playing 3 or 4 holes, still being tied, and they're like, it's a putt off. You're going to stand at 30 feet, and whoever hits more, that's how we're going to decide who wins. That's how I feel what soccer is doing. And please, go ahead and send your hate mail to john@smashbox.tv.
Yes,
so, anyway, World Cup, congratulations, Argentina. I'm always happy to see, like, someone who's an icon get a championship. That's if I know their name in soccer, I feel like you have to be an icon. Because I know, like, 3 names of soccer. I know Messier.
Sure.
Ronaldo. And Pele.
Yeah.
And Pele is like 100 years old now.
Yeah.
I didn't know Mbappe until I watched the French match a week or two ago.
I feel like that's a game at Dave and Buster's.
It might be. It might be where I have to whack something. Ooh, are you going to play Mbappe? I think I am. So.
Yeah. Tim's calling for, he hears the Goog is doing post-production on World Cup coverage. That'd be awesome.
I would tune in for that.
Yeah, just get him and Germ to get in on it, you'd be all set. Sounds like a good time for sure. I'm going through any other updates. A couple of people, one or two people that we may have, depending on how their schedules work out and availability. I was given the update that Missy Gannon and Chandler Fry have just returned from an amazing trip to Uganda with the Paul Macbeth Foundation, and they have a lot of exciting things, and we're hoping to find a way to get one or both of them possibly on the show here in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we can get some insight to that. That's got to be, I'm just assuming, it'd have to be almost a life-changing trip to be able to go there to spread the love of disc golf. And to go there to help install course and be there as part of that trip. I'm going to assume, I mean, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I've got to assume it was pretty incredible. So we'll look to get one or both of them, depending on their schedules. We'll see if we can get them lined up here in the next couple of weeks so we can get some updates from them.
Someone's correcting me on the board. It's not Messier. He was a hockey player. It's Messi.
Okay.
So
see?
I even screwed up the name.
So
I heard of him, though. So.
Ray says the PDGA world should go to an extra 18 holes if it ends in a tie. I'm not going to lie. And I know
some people really want that. Some people,
that would be pretty incredible.
I mean, there's a golf tournament. I forget which major it is.
It's the US Open.
It's the US Open that will go to the next day and do a full round.
Exactly. So I'm not going to lie. That would be kind of cool. And it might not be far-fetched now. It certainly would have been far-fetched years ago, but it may not be as far-fetched. I'm not calling for it or thinking it's going to happen, but it would be kind of cool. As much as I always say, hey, get things done and blah, 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 and we're not carrying stuff over and it is what it is. You know, the world title holds, obviously,
we almost saw
more
something
weight than any other title.
Like that at Maple Hill. They were talking about doing three holes. Like, no matter what happened, three holes, not going to
be immediate. Yeah, and I think that's going to be, I will call this now. Check the tapes. Mark the tapes.
Mark it.
That is going to become more common as an aggregate playoff, which, again, mm-hmm. not going to say. I will say I don't hate that idea. I do kind of love it. I don't know why.
I like it.
I feel like it goes against a lot of my other normal instincts when it comes to rules and fairness. But for
you're
some
very
reason,
much a
really,
traditionalist.
I do really like the idea of an aggregate playoff taking place. And maybe one of the arguments that could be used for it is, and it's funny because now I'd have to think about individual holes and individual courses, thinking about whether it's 18 or 1, which is usually the two most common starting spots, obviously, for a playoff, is if either one of them are massively advantageous to a righty or a lefty. That's mm-hmm. that would be probably my largest or one of my biggest arguments for it as an aggregate playoff is if one of those, now if they're both very lefty friendly, that might be a little weird. But you know, you think of an aggregate playoff, I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with, and in fact I would be in favor of a quote unquote mandatory 3-hole or 4-hole or 5-hole, whatever that number is. It's probably going to be 3.
2 or 3, I think, should be the number.
I think it has to be more. It has to be more than 2. I think it has to be like an odd number.
Why?
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
I feel like
it
does. It
doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be anything. No. But
Doesn't have to be.
I like the idea of 3.
Look at the course configurations. It can make a world. It could.
I like the idea of 3. It feels right. I don't know why it feels right, but it does. And that, again, personal opinion. And then after 3 holes, you then go to sudden death. If it's still tied up at 3 holes, then at that point you say, we're going to keep playing until someone wins. But you're right. It would depend on the 3 holes because you think of our Pro Tour elite courses and, you know, just think of DD Open. They're not going to start on 1. The long.
No.
If you're assuming you're playing at Country Club, they're going to start on the par 5.
No.
You know, and then come back with a par 4 or whatever. 16 makes the most sense to start on. You play 16, 17, 18 for that particular configuration. But other courses may not do that. Like, what do you do at Idlewild? What do you do at Jonesboro?
Yeah, and Idlewild, you know, specifically, you think of 1 and then 9 and how that kind of makes a loop. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a lot of different, and then you look at USDGC 1, 17 and 18 are the obvious, seemingly obvious loop. That's obviously what's been played in the past too, but 1, 17 and 18 being the loop there. And so, yeah, or you know, it would be really fun. you get a couple of really, really young, solid amateurs, and you bring them to the toboggan, and then you have them play 1, 17 and 18, and then they do that like three times
over and over and over, yeah, like you had to suffer through
for the USAM title. Yeah, that that is a lot of fun as well. So you could do that. And to be fair, that was sudden death. They just went through it seven times.
You can't blame that.
No. Pilcher says, Worlds this year shows that playoffs should be more than one hole. Such a massive advantage to go second when the player goes first when OB. Yeah, Ryan, as long as you copy and paste that and you put it for last year's Worlds in 2021, same concept, right? I mean,
yeah, because Macbeth went second last year, not this year, last year, right?
No, he went...
Or he went first.
He went second in 2021 and threw it out of bounds, and he went second this year, yes.
And correct. Threw it inbounds, yeah.
And threw it inbounds. And that was a flip of a coin that determined who went first. I don't know that. So, I mean, that's gone both ways for him. Now he's going to have to get into another playoff to see which way.
Which is the better way. I'm sure if you told Paul Macbeth he was going to go to a playoff in 2023, he'd take that. It's like you have the choice of not winning or going to a playoff. He's going to take the playoff 100%.
That's some bright thinking. You can either be guaranteed not to win, or we could put you in a playoff.
Or we'll put you in a 50% chance between any person in the world. And I think he'll take it.
Yeah. I don't know that I have anything else other than another plug. We got a couple more registrations. I don't think the snowstorm's going to entice anyone. Hopefully it'll be all shoveled and gone by then. But New Year's Eve, chaining in the new year, the final flax is
final
coming
countdown
to you over in Fairfield Park in what, Round Lake, Illinois? I don't know where the tournament is I'm running, but it's over at Fairfield, and we'll play the Glow Layout, a one-round PDGA C-tier flex start. I think between 9 and 2 is when you can get signed up, and you can play. Of course, that's on the 31st, the final flex. So I hope to see some of you there. We got a couple more people that signed up, but would love to see more of you there. I think that's about it. I'm going to give you guys the exclusive bad news. Don't tell anyone else yet. I, for the first time in I think 5 or 6 years, well, since the inception, will have to be raising my disc in a box pricing. Literally for the first time ever. There has been just too many price increases that I can no longer absorb those. And I sound like every other email I get from manufacturers right now, but there's just seriously been too many. I've put it off and put it off and put it off. It's probably going to be, don't hold me to it, hopefully just $5 difference on a $85 box may go to $90.
And that's not a single box.
No,
that is
that's a carton. That's 100
thank
of
you,
them.
A carton.
Yeah. So it feels, it's truly negligible at that, you know, when you break it down on a tiny level. But I will say, so what with that, I'm saying if you're interested in getting some, I'm going to probably have regular pricing till the end of the year. And then I feel like just having that fresh, new, terrible start to kick off the year is going to be the plan. So I wanted to throw that out there now. I'm saying this actually for the first time. I've threatened this over 2 or 3 of the price increases, and then never done it. And now I got yet another one, and we can't do it. So yeah, thanks Obama and Biden and Trump, all of them.
Ray
Epstein. It was all of them.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That guy's in a box right now.
All of them.
Ray asked if I saw the end of the Patriots Raiders game. Yes, I did. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in professional sports.
Really?
Yeah. Literally.
Did they have a kickoff?
No, they should have. The Patriots handed the ball off. I believe it was a handoff. It wasn't a kickoff. It was tie game.
Oh,
time's expiring. So it runs out of time. They decide they're going to start playing
lateraling it
back and forth. And the guy goes from one side of the field, tries to throw it backwards to his teammate.
I did see that.
Barely makes it to him, ends up getting intercepted, and the Raiders run in for the win on the defense, which helped me out because I had the Raiders defense playing in the one league I won. And
way to go, Brady.
It made no difference. I was going to beat my good friend Todd Koslinzer anyway. And knock him out of the playoffs. But yeah, it was just dumb. You literally could have taken a knee and gone to overtime to have, for a chance to win, and they pushed it and they lost. So I'm sure that Yuli got a good kick out of that, because if you're a Steelers fan, you probably hate the Patriots, just in general. That's awesome. But you know what? Nobody hates, Terry.
Free stuff.
Giveaways.
I don't know. Sounds like an entitlement program for our Smashies.
Right? It's an entitlement. If you sign up at patreon.com/smashboxtv,
you are entitled, son of a guns.
You are entitled to
a chance
to win something. We have 155 people eligible for our giveaway tonight, Terry. I sorted by first name because I was lazy tonight.
Figures.
What
the entitled do?
How many numbers should I generate tonight, Terry?
I think. Let me see. Well, Yuli said that guy was rated 917, so 900.
Yuli worked a guy.
Ouch. Let's go with the third.
All right, our third number. The first number we generated is 138. The second number we generate is 90, right in the middle. Higher or lower, Terry? It's closer
it's not
to...
quite the middle, but I still think it's going to be higher. Let's go higher.
All right. And the number is 131. Yes. Terry nails it.
Yes, again.
131. All right, let me pull up that 131. And it is Seifert Overas.
Seifert.
Sorry, thank you.
Overas of the Overas Disc Golf Park in Norway. Also the home of the PCS Sula Open.
Hmm.
These are my peeps.
I know they are, Terry.
These are my peeps. Seifert, I love you, man.
Seifert, I'm hoping to be able to see you maybe at PCS this year.
Hoping to Seifert you. Very cool. I will get something out to him. Also, the most gorgeous bathroom view on the planet. Just going to say it.
At PCS or at like Seifert's house?
At Seifert's house.
Okay.
These, like, you look out of this bathroom. I've posted a picture of it. You look out the bathroom. There was a rainbow overlooking a fjord, overlooking holes.
Was there a unicorn too? For 18, crying out loud?
Hole 18 where Barsby and Yakub Samarad had their playoff. But beyond that, you overlook a couple more holes, and then off in a distance, a fjord, along with a rainbow. Truly the most stunning bathroom view.
So if everything goes my way this year, Seifert, I hope to use your bathroom so I too can see that view.
Yes, it is. It is definitely incredible. So, Seifert, we hope you're well over there in Norway. I'm so blessed to have these stories and these experiences, so that I can share that with you guys. It's beautiful. Double D's. I've been to your private course. Bathroom view is not as nice. I'm not going to lie. It's in the... but if you get a chance, you should reach out to him as well and see if you can get yourself a round of golf over at Double D's Disc Golf in Wisconsin. Yeah, he says, probably not. Not quite as nice. I'm just saying, how do you beat a fjord, really? Like, with a rainbow? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that.
You don't? You don't. It's simply it. You don't. All right, guys, let's close it down. We want to thank you guys. Holy cow, we got one more in 2022. One more episode in 2022. Of course, that's going to be next week on the, what would be the, 27th, as we're just flipping over into the midnight hour here. But the 27th, that'll be our last one. Man, we should come up with something special. I don't have anything, but if you are lonely and you're missing us, This Christmas, I believe Scott Stokely is putting together yet his third annual Christmas holiday podcast video check-in. He's got a ton of great pros lined up. Make sure that you tune into that. I think he's going to check in with a whole bunch of people. So certainly, you know, we've got this incredible disc golf family all around the country and all around the world. Mm-hmm. So nobody should be alone. If you want to hear or listen to disc golf, Scott Stokely, or rewind any of the previous 433 episodes, we're right there, snuggled up right next.
We'll be
right
with
next
you.
To you. We're always warm and cozy. Have a great Hanukkah, Christmas, holiday, all that stuff. Of course, we'll be here before the new year. But until then, enjoy all those times with loved ones. Be safe. Stay warm. Do all that good stuff. Thanks to Paul for joining us on the regular show. For Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. That's Smashbox TV's podcast, 434's After Show. We'll see you next week when you step inside the Smashbox.